Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks the Podcast. I am here with a special guest that I guess I'm best right now. He is Joshua Gill. He invited me to his show, and we're going to talk about it and a whole lot more stuff. Josh, how doing, man?
Hey, James. Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for coming out to our concert at the Poorhouse last night. It was a blast.
It was. And, it was really, really fun.
It was cool to see all those people out there and folks just having a great time and experiencing something that was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I want to go back. Okay. So a lot of people find this. I'm always curious on how people find this on like anything. And you said you found us on Amazon, and I totally forgot I had it on Amazon. Yeah.
Just looking up different podcasts talking about music. You know, music's a big part of my life. And so I want to learn more from other people, see what other people are doing, talking about how they receive music, what music does, and discovered yours, reached out, emailed you, and we started just conversing. And then in your email signature, I saw an 803 area code.
Yes.
I said, well, hey, that's not far.
That's not far at all, because of Charleston, right?
Yeah.
But I do want to thank you so much and the rest of your band for inviting me, because this is the first time ever I've actually been invited to any like music show, you know, one-on-one.
Right.
So it's good. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Always, absolutely. Yeah. It was a pleasure to have you there and introduce you to some other folks as well.
Yeah. So the venue was outside. I think it's the Poorhouse.
The Charleston Poorhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's 5 minutes from an undisclosed location. I don't want to give anybody away. But I haven't been to outside venue in like years, you know, and right. I forget how great it is to feel the breeze on your face, to hear great music like y'all. You
know, 65 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's perfect
October
weather.
October night, and it's perfect.
Yeah, perfect weather, you know. So you are married, and I met your wife, Melissa. She's great. And I met Sean, and I thought he was your drummer, but he's not. He's your guitarist.
Yes, you know? Sean is.
And you've been friends with him for years, right?
Yeah, Sean and I've been and writing music and playing together for a long time. We had a hiatus, you know, starting having families and kids. And, you know, we play music at church, but then about 2 years ago, we started trying to finish what we started when we were about 20 years old, in recording music. And, he's a producer. He's a incredible musician. He tracks almost everything, on our records, except for drums and, piano, keys, bass, any kind of synthesizer, any kind of other instrument, MIDI, you know, anything like that. And produces and has an incredible vision for music and a big part. I know it's my last name that's in the band, right. Gail Bird.
Yeah.
But there was no Gail Bird without Sean.
Right. Yeah. And Gail Bird is from it's your nickname.
The nickname.
Right. Yeah. Because I looked that up. I was like, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes.
Because my friend Adam, you know Adam, he says no, is Gail Bird his actual name? I'm like, I don't think so. I think because he's Joshua Gail. So right. I'm like, okay, yeah.
People ask that too. Am I Gail and Sean is Bird?
You're right.
And,
yeah. I was like, nope.
Yeah, definitely a nickname, and I think nicknames are just awesome. I think everybody should have a nickname. If you don't, you can't give yourself a nickname. You got to give somebody else a nickname. Yeah. You know, and I think you know. I think the one day it occurred to me why I love nicknames so much is I was reading the Bible and Jesus himself was giving his friends some nicknames and renaming people, you know? And I said, man, if God was giving out nicknames and renaming people, you know, restoring, renaming all the things, how cool is it to give people nicknames? My four children, they all have about 100 nicknames.
Right, yeah.
You know, and they love each one, and they know that there's some affection that comes along with a nickname.
Right, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, big time, yeah. Just to tell you this quick little story, I grew up being called Andy. You know, I'm James Andrew, you know.
Okay.
And that's my mom named me Andrew and my dad named me James. Mm-hmm. Well, James won the war because here I am, James, you know. But yeah, for a long time, I you know, Andy was my name. And my cousin, she always called me Drewby, or like, he was a Drew, you know. So I understand the emotion connection between nicknames and some people, you know.
Right. Affection.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So you go by James, but what your parents each call you something different?
Well, my mom's getting used to James now.
Right.
You know, from birth till, I guess, 20, 30 something, it was always Andy, you know, because I'm James Andrew, right. You know. And I just find that name to be very childish, I guess, for me, you know. Mm-hmm. James sounds more professional and, my mom doesn't like it, but it's like, well, Dad named me James, you know? And so
we do have a generation, though, that loves Andy.
Yes,
you know, and,
yes.
And writing Andy, Andy's toy, Andy's stuff,
yes,
you know?
Yeah, the toy store, but apparently there's like many generations of James mm-hmm. in the Cox family, so that's mm-hmm. why I'm James, I guess, you know?
I don't James, know. Jimmy goes with James.
Jimmy and something else, I don't know. I think Jimmy's the only thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's weird how people, you know, nickname stuff, you know, I don't know. But, during your show last night, mm-hmm. you and your wife and Sean are the three singers.
The three singers, correct.
Yes. And y'all have harmonies that are, I think, that are on par with, you've heard of, I'm sure you've had, Diamond Rio.
Mm-hmm. Diamond, you know? Rio, yeah.
Mean in the Middle is always that song that that harmony is like go-to, you know?
Right.
And
Beautiful Mess. You remember that? Beautiful Mess, I mean.
That one and Mean in the Middle.
Yeah.
You know? And they perfected harmonies, you know? But Gail Bird is right there with the harmony, you know. Well,
appreciate that.
How does that, it's like, I guess that's a natural thing for y'all, or did you, I mean, like, how do you harmonize with each other so well, you know?
Well, those two are just great at harmonies, and finding my melody and usually trying to get me to stick to, you know, because I'll try different things out.
Right.
I don't always to sing the same song the same way.
Yeah.
So those two are always got an extra ear of like, where is he going? Not that I'm going, you know, I'll stick to the script most of the time, but if we're going to tag some stuff onto a song or we're about to end a song and do something cool and rehearsals and things like that, well if we kind of sing it this way, then we can really go along with the piano or the organ this way, or we can do something like this. It doesn't have to end that way.
Right.
You know, it works for people too, that have heard your song a couple times live. They go, oh, he just did that a little different. I did not expect that. You know, caught me off guard. Yeah. But no, those two are just musicians, not just vocalists. Yeah. They're musicians. They know where things are going and they can find the upper third, the
chemistry,
or the fifth, or the you know, whatever it may be, the chemistry's there. We've been friends before we, you know, we're band members, and of course Melissa and I, you know, live together, and everybody in our house sings 24/7, and kids are learning harmonies at 3 years old, you know, so it's part of that.
Yeah, because I think I talked with Melissa, and she's the kids are going to inherit some major music skills, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's something too we're trying to figure out. You know, we have some moments in the concert where you're getting a rock show. I mean, you were just guitar solos and distortion country rock. I mean, it is awesome. And then there's some moments in the show where everything's down, but then you're getting those sweet harmonies and you're feeling some other type of emotion with those too. You know, and it's like, whoa, like, they keep showing me different stuff that I didn't know I was going to experience.
Yeah.
The first song and the fifth song are not, you know, the same song.
Right.
They don't sing 10 variations of the same type of song. Right. It's a lot of different stuff, but it all fits in the country music genre. And so that's kind of what a great performance is we just keep unveiling stuff that have it in the song before. And I think you saw the harmonica came out in like the 13th song.
And you play, I still can't understand how the harmonica works, man. I'm still got used to it. Yeah. But, you play really, really well on that thing.
I appreciate it. Yeah. No, it's fun, you know, pulling it out and people aren't expecting it. And, you save it for that spot. And, And if you do it right, you know, it's another moment. Yeah. You know, people won't remember the set list. They won't remember what the order of the songs. They won't remember everything you said over the microphone, but they'll remember how they felt.
But yes.
And how did, you know, and folks will come up to you and they'll tell you how they felt.
Right.
Yeah. That's the first thing they'll do is, hey, I felt this. Wow.
Right.
You know, that was cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever write a song going back to working with each other? Have you ever written a song that you weren't you weren't able to release yet because of the emotions that it brings to you? You know?
Yeah.
The
song that just came out called Roses.
Yes, yes.
The label wasn't going to release Roses. It's a great song.
Right.
But was it a song, you know, where we are in our journey as a band, was it a song that could live on its own and bring in a new audience or become a single that is competitive and get playlisted and try to help, you know, where we are trying to become as a group, and build an audience.
Right.
The label didn't think so. But what transpired, you know, we wrote it a year ago, to the beginning of October. And the events and happening in the world, you know, some things locally first, my neighbor's wife died of cancer.
Ooh.
And left behind her husband and two little boys.
Yeah.
And it was really tragic and Melissa and I got to spend some time praying with her a couple of times. She'd come over desperate. Mm-hmm. She was so hungry. She couldn't keep food down. And one night she had a dream that she was cleaning her house, and on the banister and in the hallway, there was my name carved into the wood. And she woke up. She's like, I'm supposed to go pray with Josh and Melissa this morning and just be comforted. And so she just shows up in her pajamas and she's just hunched over and she's like, I just need prayer.
Yeah.
And so we prayed with her and then about a week later she passed away. But but the conversations that we were able to have with her about eternity and about some really important stuff, I'll never forget.
Right.
She was such a sweet, sweet woman. So funny too. Loved her children more than anything. And I'm watching her husband walk through what he's walking through now, which is really not good, tough. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, man, I would miss my wife so much.
Right. Yeah.
And then you look at other things happening in the world and you see what happens with Charlie Kirk, and all I can think about when he passed away was not anger. It was not anything. It wasn't responding. What this crazy stuff is happening on social media was he's got two children. He's got a wife, and I'm thinking, James, we're not guaranteed tomorrow.
No, we're not.
Yeah. And we need to be extremely intentional with what we say to our family now, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Why do people hold their roses for the funeral?
Yeah.
Why do they hold everything that they want to say about somebody and say it at their funeral? Why didn't we just tell them when they were here? Why didn't we tell them how we really felt? What thing made us not say that? And I think about my wife and I just think I need to take every opportunity to tell her how incredible she is and how much I love her. And then keep telling her these things. And even if I'm not feeling it, because our feelings follow our actions.
Yeah.
And so an action is saying something out loud, not just because I feel it. I don't have to, if you have children, you don't have to, they don't have to be perfect and perform for you to love them. When a baby comes out, all they do is eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom. And the other,
right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, there's nothing they can do to earn your affection, but somehow we love them so much.
Right.
And they didn't have to do anything to earn that. But why do we have to do that with our other family? Mm. Why do you have to do that with your parents? Why do you have to do that with your siblings? Why do you have to do that with your wife? Why do they have to earn your affection? Why do we follow our feelings with them? Why do we only tell them we love them and say nice things when we're feeling a certain way rather than say the things that we know are true about them, and then let the emotions follow the feelings and the conversation that happens after that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So Roses is that song.
Right.
Go stream it. It's on every major platform.
It's on everywhere. Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah. I hope it encourages you to to say some more stuff to your family.
Yeah. I think the reason why is because humans are so vastly delusional most times. We think nothing's going to happen to us, which in fact, you just said, we're not guaranteed tomorrow or in a few seconds, you know? Yeah, so I totally understand about how I mean, it can be hard talking about it, you know, because me talking about love and relationships is very hard, you know, because I've never been in a relationship so far, you know.
Right. Not yet.
But I think it's very hard to actually feel the need to talk to somebody and open up your relationship, you know, if you're not prone to, you know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's
which is weird.
Yeah. But I mean, that goes with your family. That goes with your friends too.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you met my best friend, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah. A great guy. Yeah. I love Sean to death.
Man, we literally, you know, work together, not only doing music, but we're web designers as well.
Yes. And we're going to talk about this soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do that together, but, you know, you can't work with somebody and not ever have any kind of frustrations or conflict. But we have a really open conversation, harbor no hard feelings. Now obviously we don't say everything that bothers us out loud, because sometimes you just got to take the things.
Sometimes it's bad. Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, sometimes you just got to take what that thought is and just kill it, because that, you know, we're not going to let all the small foxes and every little thing become something that it's not.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's friendships too. You got to tell your friends how you feel, special they are.
Got to, you know, sometimes that's hard for me to do, and sometimes that's easy, depending on the friend. It's always shifting, you know, between hard and, you know.
Right.
Because some friends, I'll talk to you about the moon, you know. Did we really go to the moon or something, right. You know?
No, we did not.
We did not go to the moon at all, you know.
Now, so, Sean and I know we don't know if we agree about that, but that's okay.
Sean thinks we did.
A lot of people think we did.
Oh, yeah. But there's
I don't know if they've seen the same videos I've seen. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
But it's not something I think that they're silly, you know. I got... You know, but I also know my tendencies too. I don't trust a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't trust our government. I don't trust, you know, I want less government reach. I want less, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, go listen to the latest series from Tucker Carlson about 9/11 and tell me if you think that wasn't an inside job.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
I still think that it is, you know, an inside job. And the whole Bin Laden thing is just wild too. I got theories on that, you know,
all of that,
but
I'm with you. Yeah. But I'm a skeptic.
Yeah Do you believe in aliens? I like outer space aliens.
I think that also might be you look at Project Blue Beam, any of that kind of stuff. I think that could be
possible.
One, I think it's our own government.
Well, yeah,
you know, and more manipulation, control kind of things, and a way to scare people, you know. Terrorism, what it is fear mongering.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What is terrorism?
Yeah.
It just gets you to be fearful.
That's all it is.
You know, when nobody wanted to fly. Nobody wanted to do this. It was fed. That was fed to us.
Though. Right.
Right. That's what it is. It's the same thing with the aliens and stuff that we're not able to explain.
Yeah.
And what the only thing that I know from thousands of years is some things we cannot explain. Miracles.
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Healings. I've seen healings. I've seen incredible things with my own eyes. But I know where it comes from. It's from the Lord.
Yeah.
I also know we live in a spiritual world. Some things could be demonic, you know, where you can have good and not evil.
Right.
You know, we're only going to believe the good stuff and the evil doesn't exist. Yeah. You know, or believe half the Bible. No, it's like it is what it is. And they're demonic forces that roam the earth. They have nowhere to go. They got to roam and do something, you know, whatever. I don't know. So, are we alone? The universe is gigantic. God made the universe as big as can be, not to show us how small we are, but to show us how big he is.
Yeah. Speaking of, demonic figures in the world, there's a few musicians I'm not going to ever get on my show.
Right.
Because how I'm going to say them, Doja Cat, you know, she, I think she didn't say it outright. but I think she worships Satan, which okay. she's never going to be able to tell because I'm Christian.
Right.
Your whole family's Christian, which is great, you know.
And, but hey, did we play at a venue last night that had demonic symbols all over the walls and stuff?
No.
No, I'm saying that we did.
Oh.
We went into a dark place. There's demonic symbols on the wall. There's the all-seeing eye. There's you know, just some very weird stuff, murals painted on the walls and stuff like that. Melissa and I talked about that for a while. You know, I want to be a light in the dark place.
Yeah, right.
But that doesn't mean they didn't hire me. I mean,
right.
you get to know me for about 2 seconds. No, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
Is it a Christian band? No.
No, yeah.
But do we sing about things that God cares about?
Yeah.
Do we want to encourage and give people hope? Yeah. Where's our source of hope? The Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I guess I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah. But they didn't shut the door on us.
Right.
You can listen to our music for about 5 minutes and know that we're a little bit different. You know, there's nothing perverted.
No.
There's nothing about drinking and leaving, and there's nothing about any of that stuff. What you hear is what the world needs, which is hope.
Yeah.
You know, to keep going, keep pushing, not giving up, and being inspired.
Right.
So, no, I think, you know, we should be able to have conversation. We should all be able to talk about the things we disagree about.
Right. Yeah.
Civilly.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, but we shouldn't be ashamed to be able to talk about the things you and I want to talk about.
Yeah.
We're just being authentic, being ourselves. Always be yourself, you know. So I hope somebody would be able to talk to me about their stuff that they, you know, and then I want to know how they got there.
Right. Well, yeah, I never really thought about it before that way. So you're right. I mean, I guess I do need to branch out and figure out what they're thinking about, they're feeling about, you know.
We sang a song by Stevie Nicks yesterday.
Landslide, right? Yes.
And you look at Stevie's life, you know, hopeful young child, but had some relationship stuff going on, had some life decisions, and she sang some stuff over herself too that was almost like a curse singing over herself.
Yeah.
There's life and death in the power of the tongue.
Right.
Saying things about yourself and singing things over yourself and speaking things over yourself. Over and over, eventually you believe it, and eventually, you know, you reap what you sow, and you're sowing into these curses. But she also then got into some magic and some kind of different stuff, and some darker stuff in her life. You know, and that's a tricky path. You know, songs can be redeemed, but also, you know, you look at artists and you hate it for them. There's a lot of artists with like zero relationships you know, a lot of stuff going on. I want to know how they got there. I know how I got where I'm at.
Right.
I want to know how they got there, where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Speaking of, okay, well, just perfect six right into my next question. There's a lot of people who are looking for, you know, that big record label signature. And I've heard really bad things and really good things, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've seen more and more musicians reaching out to the independent side, you know, doing everything yourself instead of, you know. But you, I think you said last night you just signed with Holy
about a year and a
Holy
half ago.
City Music,
Holy
right?
City Music.
Yeah.
And that's you gotta look at the label, you gotta look at the contract, you gotta read through everything, and you gotta see, you know. For us, reading through everything is, you know, obviously that, you know, we know the executive and the owner of the label as somebody who wants to develop artists, who's committed their life to music, who's not here to just make something lucrative.
Right.
You know, you look at some of the three big major music labels.
Yeah.
They got a board that they're responsible to, you know, and a bottom line to protect, and they're there to make money.
Yeah.
They could care less. I don't say they could care less. There are people there that care.
Well, yeah.
But the bottom right. line is the dollar bill.
Yeah.
You know, in any business, you gotta, any label, it's a business. You gotta be able to fund it.
Right.
You know, and have money coming in, cash flow, all these things, or it's just a hobby at that point if you're not.
Exactly.
But you gotta look at the heart of the people that you're working with, and what you're signing in a contract is deep.
Mm-hmm.
For us though, you know, weighing all the options, you know, when you're independent, you pay for everything yourself.
Everything.
Yep. So how do musicians make money to pay for stuff? they start going to sell themselves out to bars and play a bunch of late nights or work hard or, you know, squeeze pennies here and there.
And also buy physical merchandise for the band, y'all.
You know, Galebird.com.
Yes.
That's
what it is. Because I heard like one shirt sale equals like 50 streams. Because it's like so low how much they pay.
Streaming doesn't make any money. You have to sell merch and tour to make money. And we're trying to figure out what that looks like for us because we both have big families and we want to be present. You know, I coach baseball, I coach soccer, you know, involved, you know, at church and with ministry. And I don't want to give up all that. I think there's a lot of people that would come off the road.
Yeah.
A lot of people have to be more with their families, you know. Listen to Carrie Underwood. She'll tell you.
Yeah.
It took her like going all the way around to realize she had what she wanted all along.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, so, where your heart is where your treasure is where your heart is. And, a treasure. I'm as wealthy as you could ever be as far as healthy, beautiful, wonderful, incredible children.
Right.
I'm wealthy as can be with a wife who loves and cares for me, you know, and friends and community and a church and all the things that I've ever dreamed about.
Yeah.
And, you know, music is still there in my life, to, you know, be a place where, I mean, what an out it is and what a joy and a privilege it is to play music. I love it. I dream about it. I think about it, you know, all the time. Yeah. And being able to play music with your wife and your best friends, my brother-in-law, he plays guitar.
Yeah.
John, and he, speaking of death and roses, he's in palliative care. He's one of the heads of palliative care for one of our major hospitals here. And every Monday morning, he's looking at the dashboard on his computer, seeing who passed away over the weekend.
Yeah,
with patients, he faces death more than anybody has to think about it. For me, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
I don't have to. You know, it's very rare that somebody I know has died, but not for him.
Yeah.
You know, and the work he does. So he can help people sometimes have a perspective of life.
Yeah.
But he himself has to look into that too, because it's kind of it's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, signing with the label, incredible label we're on. So helpful, so loving, so smart. You know, and they do know what's going on. But they allowed us to release Roses because they agreed. Like, there's a great time for this right now.
Right.
And it's a great song.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the song. If you'll notice a trend in some of our music, you know, little Easter eggs or things like that. One of Sean's signature stamps is he always leaves some kind of extra musical hook at the end of the song.
Yeah.
If you go to the end of the song, there's another little extra musical hook. At the end of Roses, there's a little mention at the end of the last chorus, right before the end of the last tag of the song, in the outro, there's this musical hook that just is so cool. It's a combination of instruments that's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's fresh. Yeah. And he's so good at that's his kind of his brand stamp.
That's his brand, stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to him and I mean, and I asked him, you know, what was the first music instrument they learned? Yeah. And I hear this all the time for everybody, you know.
Right.
Piano is like the number one. It's you should start out with first. Because I teach you theory and notes, and then you can get to the guitars and
For him it was piano.
Yeah.
For me, you know, my parents weren't. You know, I had two older brothers, and they. I don't know why it always worked out this way. They're a little bit older, and I think I've got four kids. I think it kind of works out this way too. It's like, well, the other two didn't like this. Maybe you won't like it either.
Right.
So they did golf lessons. They quit.
Golf.
They did piano lessons. Huh? They quit. So if they quit, and then my mom's like, hey, are you kind of interested? Or, you know, not just saying, hey, I want you to try it.
Right.
I think you should. She's just like, if you're not interested, like, we're not going to waste the money because your brothers didn't stick with it. Mm. You know,
right.
Spent all this money and time getting them to piano lessons. So I never took piano lessons. I didn't take golf lessons. I did get in a couple theater courses.
Okay.
Kind of like that. But I really think it's, you know, parents have to partner with their children in these activities, school, church. Like, if you're not working with your children and just expecting somebody else to teach them, like, it's, children aren't that self-motivated.
Right.
I have one child that's extremely self-motivated. That's my son, Luke.
Yeah.
He's right, a great drummer.
Really?
Great at school. Never have to ask him to do his homework. Never have to ask him to go practice drums. Never have to ask him to go throw 100 baseball pitches in the backyard. Never have to ask him to do batting practice. Never have to ask him to learn how to dribble a soccer ball and have ball control.
He just does it on his own.
He's self-motivated, but that's out of four. That's, and I don't know. I mean, one of the children's 1 year old. Yeah. I don't know about her yet, but he's so self-motivated.
Good.
Now the other ones, they'll rehearse stuff. They'll practice, but you might have to remind them a little bit. Hey, I think you should go practice for a little while. Make sure you got that. Yeah. And they're extremely talented. I won't say that like he's the only one that has any talent.
Well,
they're all extremely talented.
Right.
He's just the one that's self-motivated. And so, but parents need to partner with children. Hey, I think I see this in you. I think you should give this a shot, and it's going to be a little challenging, but maybe we can work on it together after lessons. You know, maybe we can rehearse together. Maybe, I can kind of show you maybe where you're not doing it right.
Right.
Even, and then the parents got to be involved a little bit though. They got to learn a couple things, to be able to learn the language of that skill that they're trying to learn.
Yeah. Going back to music though, do you feel like your songs are healing you first in your family and then the audience, or did you, or do you write in the in mind of the audience for, from your music?
Usually both, but,
okay.
First of all, it's Sean and I are writing the songs we need to hear for ourselves. I mean, marriage is tough. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, if 50%, over 50% of marriages end in divorce, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be divorced.
Right.
Like, I don't want it.
I don't think anyone wants it.
I've never started anything that I didn't plan on finishing.
Right.
And I've started a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, I've got new ideas every day of stuff, businesses and things like that. And my friends tease me about it. I don't want to be divorced. Marriage is tough. Got four kids. I work hard to provide for my family. And the year 2025, it's even harder than ever to provide for your family.
Right. Especially with the prices nowadays, Jesus.
The prices, it's horrible. And my wife knows she's supposed to stay home with our children and nurture them and love them. And I got to go out and I got to hunt. I got to bring back food and protect, you know, shelter and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff can get in the way.
Yeah.
All that stuff can consume you and all these things. And then all of a sudden some of the main things don't remain the main things. And, you know, women need to feel secure. They need to feel loved. They need to feel these things. Men, we want to be respected.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Admired, appreciated, you know, whatever it may be that's inside of us. When those things aren't jiving, all of a sudden there's some conflict in the house.
Yeah.
And depending on how good you are at conflict resolution, the kids see it.
Right.
You know, it carries into things. It can last for days. It can, you know, however it may be. And, you know, Melissa and I and Sean and his wife, Christine, we're trying to figure out how do we reduce those amount of things? How do we reduce the conflict? How do we work through it quickly? How do we honor and love each other through it? How do we get each other's back so that we're not constantly at odds, allowing things to tear apart our marriage?
Right.
We can write songs about that. So we write Roses. We write I Still Do. We write, you know, you heard
a song. I love that song. That's amazing.
It's catchy too.
That's amazing.
And you know, you heard some other songs, Keep Trying, that we've never released. Yeah. That was at the show.
Right.
You heard My Lines. You heard some other stuff.
We've heard Baby One.
Hit Me, Baby.
I was like, what is this? I was like, oh no. That's dude.
Yeah, a little country version of Hit
Country
Me, Baby.
Pop, yeah.
Britney Spears. Yeah. And that was fun bringing up our opener was Philip Scott.
He was great too. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's such a great guy. I think you should set up a podcast with him and you know, bring him up. He's an old friend and just do a little kind of like a pause, you know, it's supposed to be the break for the rest of the band to kind of get a chance, but I wanted to keep going, doing some stuff. And, but you heard these songs that, that we're writing and they're for us.
Yeah.
You know, my lines is about, what happens and how does infidelity happen? Mm. It happens when the butterflies fly away and life gets in the way. It happens when things get super busy. It happens when the main thing doesn't stay the main thing. It happens when, the kids become the most important thing. It happens when, you know, the career becomes the most important thing, but it happens when out of our mouth, we don't say the things that we're supposed to be saying and we're supposed to be responsible for.
Right.
I think that God gave me Melissa to steward and to cherish and to develop and to love. And it's my responsibility. And there are things that I need to say to my wife that nobody else will say or ever should say, because those are my lines.
Right.
And the only person she's ever going to hear them from or, you know, is me. But if I'm not saying those lines, infidelity is real. It's a part of what's why some people get divorced. Mm. You better believe some other chump's going to come around.
Yes, exactly. You snatch her up.
And say the things that I should be saying. And if we're in a bad place, man, how enticing would that be for her or for me to hear something from some affirmation from somebody else? They're flirting. They're saying something. You know, they're manipulating. You know, they know they're coming in.
Right.
So if I'm saying my lines, there ain't no line. And so in theater, you have your lines.
Right.
But if you forget your lines or you're late for your lines, somebody will step on your lines or take your lines. And you don't want someone to take your lines. It's embarrassing. It's frustrating. And so I started to write the song My Lines. And Sean and I wrote it. And we brought in a friend, Christian Wood. He plays bass for Ben Fuller. Fuller's a country Christian artist. And they tour together. Christian is an incredible musician, songwriter. He before Ben Fuller, he was with Ann Wilson for a while, another country artist. But we're old friends, and we get together on Zoom, and we've written some really cool songs.
Yeah.
He was on Looky Here.
Another great song too. Yeah.
Thank you. And so we got together, we wrote this song, and you know, put it together, and you know, we may revisit it, try to revamp it, but the label. And think it was strong enough where it is right now. So we'll do a rewrite on it eventually, but it's really, you know, it's a cool song, but it reminds you, you know, no one's going to take my lines. No one's going to take what's mine.
Right.
No other woman, no other man is going to step in the middle of this dance.
Yeah. Now on some songs, going with what you said, with some songs, do you write songs to remember where you were in that time? That you write down,
yeah,
you know,
Changed Your Name is another one we haven't released. Okay. I sang that the other night or last night, and gosh, it reminded me, like, you know, I always tell the joke, the only thing I didn't like about Melissa was her last name. So I changed that.
Right. Yeah.
But we can't,
good job.
But we can't, you know, if you've been married long enough, you understand you can't change anybody.
No.
And, you can try, but you know, many have failed. I thought I could change them. No, you can't.
There, yeah.
God can.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's in the business of it, and you can read the Word of God and see that he really changed every heart that gave him access to it. But Changed Your Name reminds me of, man, I struck gold.
Yeah,
and I'm a wealthy man.
Yeah,
And I remind myself of that, and it's such a sweet song to sing. And I Still Do reminds me that was a tough place where Melissa and I were in our marriage, where she didn't know how I felt.
Right.
She said, if we could go back in time, would you still ask me to marry you? And I was like, dang, if you don't know that, that's on me.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I told her immediately, I will always agree with younger me. He was a genius. He was a smart boy. Yeah. He obviously heard from God. I thank younger me. It was so smart. And I look at my wife, I talk to her, I hold her, everything. I'm like, man. Pinch me.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want to wake up. Right.
Yeah, and she's given me a beautiful family. Yeah. She's just given me so much. And I'm eternally grateful for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but she needs to know that.
Yeah.
So then I gotta say it as twice as much as I do. especially when times get busy
get
and
rough,
tough.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of it I write for myself, and Sean will write it for ourselves. But then we also, our desire of releasing it is that somebody's going to be listening to it filled with hope for their marriage, or given the desire and taking initiative to go and say they're sorry to their spouse and to call them up and just tell them I love you, and just whatever it is that's bothering them, just say, I don't want that to bother me anymore. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me, or I forgive you and I love you, and whatever it is, you know. And, we were talking earlier, bitterness is a root that we consume, a poisonous root we consume, thinking it's going to hurt somebody else. Mm. It's killing us, we don't have to. We don't have to take offense with anything. There's a woman, Patricia King, and she said that offense is not given, it's only taken. So if you say something that's going to offend me, I don't have to take it.
Yeah.
You can give it all you want to. I don't have to take it.
Right. Exactly.
I don't have to receive it. I can give it to God. I can just let it be whatever it is. I can assume that you were a hurt person and trying to speak out of her, whatever it may be. I don't have to receive it. And then I don't have to choose to stay offended. Even if I did take offense, I can forgive quickly. I can move on. Yeah. And so our hope is that music just goes out into the airwaves and it changes people's mindsets, and it can get them past a stubborn feeling or a hopeless feeling. Feeling hopeless in your marriage is really tough.
Mm. Like, okay, so now you said that, excluding your songs that you wrote and released, is there another song that saved your marriage at tough times? Because I know marriage is a hard thing. My parents been married 50 years now, which is great.
It's amazing.
So, and I know that they've been through a lot that me and my sister have never seen at all,
Right. The military is tough on families.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you moved around a bunch.
Every 4 to 6 years we did. Yeah, so we never really had time to make quality friends.
Right. See, everybody thanks a veteran, but nobody always thanks the family members.
Yes, exactly.
The spouses, the children. Mm. You guys all sacrificed a lot.
Right.
So that our nation could be defended and that, that we have the greatest military in the world. Your dad's a
colonel. Yeah.
Retired colonel.
30 years.
Yeah. 30 years. Yeah. And how awesome is that? But that was sacrifice. He sacrificed a lot. But you sacrificed a lot, your mom, your siblings, and that's a lot. Yeah. And that's a strain on marriage too.
Right.
The divorce rate in the military, the divorce rate in the military and infidelity rate really high.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot going on. People are getting married too soon, too quick because they want to be stationed together. Mm. They're being, thrown into some stuff, and it's difficult. So there's a lot going on there in that world too. Yeah. But for your parents to be married 50 years is incredible, and we should celebrate that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But has there been a song that's not yours that saved your marriage? Going back to that question,
right?
Yeah,
is there a song that saved our marriage?
Was there like a song that specifically saved your marriage? And like, I don't know, but what your,
No, I mean, I listen to them on repeat.
Okay,
so that I get out of my stubbornness, and so that I want to keep forgiving and I keep loving and keep asking and apologizing a lot. Men, we're not as quick to apologize sometimes.
We're stubborn.
We feel justified in our anger or our hurt or whatever it may be. And we don't say sorry quickly, or we don't apologize quickly. And so it's let's see. no, there's not a song. I think the only thing that saved our marriage is We have friends who care about marriage a lot.
Okay.
We have, Sean is very listening and open to listen to me. He doesn't always take my side.
Yeah.
Not the friend. You don't want a friend that always takes your side. You want a friend that tells you
straight up.
Is
what it is.
Well, he tells me what my responsibility is. You know, I got another friend named Edwin, and I'll call him And I call him because I know I need what I need to hear.
Right.
He's going to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Don't call the friends that are going to let you vent, or don't call your mom or your brother or a friend that's going to just boo hoo with you and get you angrier and say, how dare them. Call the friend who's going to tell you what you need to hear and what you should do to make it right. Okay. That's going to help you fight for your marriage. Yeah. Those are the friends you need. And so I'm lucky to have those friends. And then I've got a couple that works with Melissa and I. You know, obviously when you're trying to sing about marriage and like you want to help marriages.
Yeah.
You know, and write songs about it that go out in the airwaves that potentially, you know, let's say that last year, you know, 500,000 streams, no, it was 750,000.
A lot of big numbers, right?
Yeah. Numbers, you know, yeah. I can't remember, but if those are individual streams, that's a lot of people that can be impacted by hearing a song and giving some hope.
Right.
Never know anybody's going with it, but if you know 50% of marriages are ending in divorce, then you might have to say 50% of that number needed to hear that song.
Right.
If they're married or in a relationship, or they know what they need to look out for when they're getting married, or if they're just married or have been married, knowing that they might need to put that tool in their back pocket for when that does show up, or making sure that doesn't show up in their marriage. But this couple, John and Allison, you know, God saved their marriage, and they went through hell. That was another one that you got to hear the other night.
Yeah,
been here before.
Yeah,
I hope to release that one day. But it's more Melissa and I remind each other, like, we've been through hell before.
Yeah,
we lost a child. Yeah. We have witnessed things and been through really difficult things that felt like hell on earth.
Right.
I mean, physical, mental, everything hell. And life didn't slow down. Work didn't stop.
Right.
Yeah. Other kids needed stuff, you know. No one else is knowing what you're going through, usually, not the whole world, you know, just those who are really close to you. And we've been through hell, and we just remind each other that we've been here before, and we've also come out of hell with nothing left but a story to tell and holding hands.
Right.
You know, together, not even smelling like smoke. And so this couple has been through hell tremendously. And they don't want to waste, and you know, God, one thing that's true, I know that God will never waste a hurt. He can turn any terrible situation into something that glorifies him,
right,
in some way. And this couple has used everything in their marriage and their life to, in their time, they're both retired now, to help younger couples.
Yeah.
Through their stuff as mediators. Sometimes you need a mediator.
Right.
They've been our mediators before, you know, 11:30 at night. They've stayed up praying for us. Mm. They've told us the really hard things to hear. And they fight for us. Mm. It's like, man, we need more people like that.
Right. Exactly.
Golly, yeah. You know, we shouldn't just be thinking about retiring. We should be thinking about how can
finding
I
find friends like this.
Yeah. And just help. How do we help these people? And they have an eternal mindset too. You know, if you believe the Bible is true and you realize that we have eternity after this, that anything, you know, Sean in the band is also a math major. He was a math and music major.
Oh, I hate him right now. I can't stand math, dude. My uncle is he's a math teacher.
Wow.
Like, can you?
God bless him.
Right. Yeah.
They're wired a little bit different. Yeah. But you'll understand math. You'll understand that anything divided by eternity is zero.
Right.
So if Song of Sol or King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, we're here for a vapor, and the vapor means zero mathematically. Anything divided by eternity is zero. So we're here for literally no time at all compared to eternity.
Yeah.
We need to live so intentionally that. Number one, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Number two, we're not here very long.
No.
We need to make decisions based on not being here very long. The decision needs to be like, what am I putting away for eternity? But what am I doing to make an impact that would last either generations or a long time, or, you know, whatever it is? Am I just working for retirement? I'm working just to put away so I can retire one day and not work.
Right.
I actually love to work. Mm. I enjoy providing. I enjoy building companies. I enjoy doing things and writing songs and making music and all those things. It doesn't have to be something that you try to get away from as soon as you can, because then you're, I don't think you've figured out how to live life to the fullest, which we're promised in John 10:10.
Yeah.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life and live it to the full. If we're supposed to have that to the fullest, then like, what are we doing wrong if we're not living it to the full? Like, right. We need to take back, step back and have a perspective. And if we're not living for eternity, we might not be living life to the fullest. Mm. These people, John and Allison, are have that eternal perspective, and they're fighting for other couples to save us some of the grief that they've experienced.
Yeah.
And that's what we can do. Don't waste a hurt. Like, save somebody else some grief.
Yeah.
And pour it out. And so we're trying to put that in the music.
Right.
So that we can save some people some grief if they hear a good song.
Yeah. Because you never know who you might impact through your music. It doesn't matter where it is, you know, because music has no language barrier ever, you know. So that's the meat of music, you know.
That's why I love the name of the podcast, When Words Fail, Music Speaks.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's true. Right. I mean, I couldn't find like a better name for it, you know?
No.
Yeah. So. No. All right. So now we got four more questions because it's almost time.
Yeah.
All right. So which member in the band is like a go with the flow kind of person in the band as opposed to, you know, be all ready to go. We gotta stick to our guns and get this done.
Yeah.
Which one is,
you know? Sean is the plan A, plan B, plan C.
Okay, so he's everything. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's part of his personality, but he's also a professional.
Right. Yeah.
He wants to come off as a professional. People know him as a professional. People know him as an incredible musician and all the things. It's his world, you know?
Right.
And go with the flow. No, Melissa's got some opinions.
Okay.
She's not just going to sing anything. She's got it. She wants to feel it. She wants to know that she could sing it and believe it. She's a very authentic person. She wants to, and I think that you'll see that in a lot of our music. We really believe what we're singing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, we're not just singing a good song, you know? And as far as go with the flow, you know, John playing guitar, he has ideas of like songs he likes and styles and things like that. He's a go with the flow. The drummer Rodney's a go with the flow. He can play.
I love your drummer, dude. Yeah. Your drummer's amazing.
He's incredible. Yeah. He's a ball of energy.
Yeah.
But he's not just a drummer. He's people make jokes about drummers. You know, what do you call
somebody
who hangs out with musicians? You call him a drummer. No, Rodney's a musician.
What's your favorite holiday song? Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's like,
he's go with the flow, but he's a great musician all the way around. And then our keys player, Abdiel Idiarte, is one of the greatest jazz pianists, and he's got an incredible reputation. But he can play gospel music, he can play country, play jazz, play anything, and he's produced and written so much music for musicals and all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, he can go anywhere. Like, there's no limitation for him. He's a go with the flow because he's so talented. He's put in the hours to be excellent and to play with anybody. Sean's that way too. He's excellent. He could play any genre and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I'd say our entire back line, bass player too, Philip Ortiz.
I think Philip would be like a go with the flow because he seems really down to earth.
He's a guitarist that's playing bass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's a guitarist that's playing bass. He's the kind of servant leader that's like, hey, where you need me.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay.
Every text.
He's that fill in guy.
Yeah. Well, all the text of the day of the show, day before, all that is, it's not just a fill in. I mean, this is a good nickname though. Fill in.
He's
always trying to serve and lead and care for others, and any way he can, he's a servant leader. He's got incredible experience in music and living in Nashville and working with.
See, that's something I always wanted to go to Nashville just for visiting, you know, purposes. I hear it's amazing down there.
No, he worked and traveled with Need to Breathe and Toby Mac and played music with Ryan Stevenson and a bunch of artists and just played in bands and lived a lot of life. He's here as a friend that's like, where you need me, man.
Put
me in, coach. You know, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And just super talented. So the whole back line is ready to go with the flow because they believe in what we're doing.
Right.
You know, we're not, you know, they're so busy as well. They're not just playing a gig to gig. They're ready to like, they believe exactly
they're
what
getting
we're
ready
doing.
Right.
We're,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Blues Brothers, we're on a mission.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's an amazing metaphor too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I will hold on. Yes. Okay. So let's go back in the time machine. Okay. We're going to talk to Josh. When you were like 14, 15, 16, okay?
Right.
We're looking at around at your walls.
Yeah.
Are we looking at any music posters or no?
Yeah.
And which ones? I feel like you got some New Kids on the Block or something, right?
Yeah. No.
No? No?
I was playing music, you know, two different groups, you know, at that time. But one of my best friends, we would play some heavier music. And back then you had, you know, Spencer's Gifts to go into. You had some different places in the mall.
Hot Topic, yeah.
Yeah, you could go to Walmart and go through all the posters there too. And the poster my mom hated and despised was Limp Bizkit, Chocolate Starfish, and Hot Dog Flavored Water.
Yeah.
And she hated it.
Yeah.
Literally hated it. But she let me though. She did something that I just, music, I don't even know if I even cared for the entire album.
Right.
I picked a poster.
I'm sure there's like two or three songs that are like straight bangers, but the rest of the album is like, eh.
He's like, yeah. And it's there's just one. I don't know. Why did I was also the youngest of three kids. And, I think sometimes I just wanted to be counter to what everybody else in the family was doing.
Right.
If they're rooting for this team, I'm going, you know, they were Texas Rangers. We lived in Dallas. I'm going for, you know,
for the other one. Yeah.
I went for the Yankees.
Right. You
know?
Yeah.
If they wanted Carolina Tar Heels, I went NC State.
Mm.
You know, now I'm a Gamecock.
There you go.
That is one of the best teams.
Yeah.
Still a Dallas Cowboys fan. My son and I just went to a game in Charlotte. It was a great experience, but, it was Limp Bizkit. Am I the biggest Limp Bizkit fan? No. More of, I would take the, from my oldest brother was very graceful, had a lot of CDs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you know, couldn't wait to get my own CD player, you know, had to wait for Christmas, you know, all that stuff. Right. And I didn't care which kind it was. It wasn't as nice as his, but I got one and gosh, and it was on the wall that was next to his room. And he's like, "Hey, you got to turn that down." And I didn't think it was very loud, but I think it was beating the wall.
Yeah.
But every night I would go to bed listening to some of the records that I would like borrow or take from him. Oleander was one. It was
Oleander,
a great band.
Yeah.
And Lynyrd Skynyrd and Led Zeppelin and all these different CDs that I would, if he wasn't home, I would be taking and just listening and absorbing. Hanson was another one.
Hanson,
I got.
Yeah.
I had Backstreet Boys and all that stuff too. I loved all that stuff. I wanted to be a performer as a kid. And I would take my mom's like wireless cordless home phone. She had a headset that came with it and I would take that and I'd be in the mirror and I'd be singing songs and performing in front of the mirror. But I would take the inside cover of the CDs and like the credits and the lyrics and I would hang those on the wall.
And you know,
that was
fun.
A big part. So I'm studying lyrics and all that kind of stuff.
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
So I tell everybody this, I can go my whole life
and
listen and not listen to the song Freebird and just be fine. I've heard that song constantly through my 20s, you know, because I used to bar up with my friends.
Right.
Every time it comes on, I'm like, I can't stand the song, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure you got songs like that before too, where you just can't, you know.
Like I'll wear some songs out. The live version of that song and the fact that the pianist of that band
just played to play.
He was a roadie.
Yeah,
and they picked him up and said, "Hey, whoa, like Billy, I didn't know you could play like that," and put him in the band.
Yeah,
and so the opening of that song and the piano and that song inspired the piano solo and Crumble Down that we put out. So if you listen to the end of the song Crumble Down, there's a country piano solo in there. And you know, so that I'm a little more affectionate to that song. But are there other songs? I don't know.
You don't know.
But I know that Leonard Skinner, if they came out today, that's a country band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, by far.
Yeah. Early Eagles, country band.
Country band.
You know.
I think they were Linda Ronstadt's backup band is what somebody told me. Right. And that just blew my mind because I didn't know that they were a backup band.
Yeah. And then learned a song right from Jackson Browne.
Yeah.
Who also could very well be a country artist, too. And, yeah, a lot of stuff like that. Another great piano part that I'm thinking about right now is Billy Preston, Nothing from Nothing, is one of the greatest piano songs too, if you hadn't listened to it.
But,
not too many songs that I, you know, have worn out me.
Right.
Not yet. I do have kids. I do get annoyed listening to certain songs.
And I'm sure, I think it's a solid they're like the Power Rangers, but they're like kid songs, you know, in the tour. And I forgot what their name is, but they're like children music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're so popular with them, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna do this to you, you know, and don't hate me.
All right.
Four bands so we're gonna do like a Mount Rushmore of four bands. Your favorite bands.
Mount Rushmore four bands. Yeah.
Is
for me.
So I gotta know, is Limp Bizkit in there?
No, I don't know. I was just a rebellious kid.
Okay.
My mom, I probably got it because she didn't like it.
Right. That's what high school. Yeah.
I got a tattoo. She didn't like them. I got my ears pierced. She didn't like that. You know, it was just rebellion.
Yeah.
Rebellious kid.
Well, I mean, you were high school age, so that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. No, I was middle school.
Because I tried to be, but I really wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a very young, rebellious kid.
Right.
So four bands, Mount Rushmore.
Four bands. It could be any band you want to, or any singer.
Right now? Four bands right now, or four bands of all time?
We could do both of them. Give me your four bands right now.
Four bands right now.
Yeah. At this time.
Josiah and the Bonnevilles, I got that on repeat lately. Josiah and the Bonnevilles, that guy's had a story,
okay,
a music story you need to look into, which is pretty awesome. Need to Breathe got me wanting to play live music.
Yeah, Need to Breathe is a very good.
I mean, they put on a rock show that can be rivaled with any other rock show. And seeing them in college and seeing them in clubs, you know, in South Carolina, made me want to play live music and put a band together and put on a rock show. I mean, it's the coolest thing. It was, so Need to Breathe, Josiah and the Bonnevilles. The folks that always encourage me to keep going, North Palm Worship, those are the friends that just can keep me to encourage me to write 1,000 songs and not stop and learn how to write, even having a family and how to do it all. You know, it can be done. You don't have to be a single person traveling the world as a vagabond, you know, playing music, trying to build an audience and write music. You can be a family. You can have a job. You can do all the things and still write a bunch of music. You just got to be super intentional. They write a ton of music, and they write some really good music.
Yeah.
And it's deep, and it's theologically inspiring, and it's needed. So North Palm Worship's up there. You know,
one more modern band.
Oh man,
I know it's hard. because there's so many great bands out there. I don't know which one.
Right now, I mean, the kids and I right now listening to Cody Johnson.
Okay.
He's writing a lot of really good music. He's a writer on these songs, not just a singer, and he's writing some really good songs, and his voice is great.
Yeah.
It'd be tied between him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all time, Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
Yes.
I mean, he puts on a show. Yeah. He writes some incredible music. He's grounded in music. He's a family man, loves his wife. She speaks very highly of him. They have children, greatest Star Spangled Banner.
And that's what I was going to say. Man, you can't beat that.
No.
Nobody can.
No, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
He'll make you want to quit, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, actually, didn't he start as a writer for all these big bands, like Luke Bryan and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and then he branched out?
And then he was in a band with some other folks, the Steel Drivers.
Okay.
And Steel Drivers actually were here a couple weeks ago. Still great band. But you know, he went from there to there and had some great help in the studio, and they mixed that first record so well. He had great songs and great production. So Chris Stapleton's one of those.
Yeah.
Lynyrd Skynyrd's one of those, yeah. Obviously. Need to Breathe back up there as an all
right,
time.
Yeah. I think the standard mark for you is Need to Breathe, right?
But just this live performance and writing, and a guy figuring out how to say sorry a bunch. Mm-hmm. He's on the road a lot.
Yeah.
Like he's very vocal about he's screwed up.
Yeah.
And there's something to learn from him. And he's trying to pioneer something that nobody's done.
Right.
And I think he's doing the best he can with what he's got and doing something that there's no playbook.
Yeah.
And that's Bear. You know, I know he's in the full band, but it's, I think right now the original member is Bear.
Bear,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Seth's off the road. The original drummer is off. His brother is the guitarist. He's not playing with the band anymore. So it's down to Bear. And
Bear, and that's it.
Josh has been a member for a long time on the keys, and the new drummer has been around for a while, but the original one of the founding members is just Bear left. But
yeah,
it's alive. It's hard to keep a band together for a very long time, and they've done a great job. But obviously, family comes first, and they all know that. Right. So I got I give you three.
Three. Yep.
I need one more.
One more. Def Leppard, Pink Floyd. Disciple. I don't know if you. Disciple is like Christian metal, Christian rock. So I don't know if you like those type of things. Disciple is very good, by the way. Everybody should check out that band.
Yes,
it's really, really good.
One more.
Yeah. Is it Eric Clapton?
No.
No.
Just trying to think who I put on repeat and who I just can't help but just sit down and listen to the song and who I could not miss live. I don't know, maybe Brandon Lake.
Okay.
One of the greatest songwriters of this generation. The guy's just writing songs. I mean, I think he's in a well where he's just got some incredible songwriting. He writes with others. His wife speaks highly of him.
Yeah.
His children love him and adore him. He's pioneering something. He's doing the best he can. He's evangelical in what he's doing, you know, his partnerships and stuff like that. He'd be up there just because of, you know, I respect him a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Hell yeah. One more question and then we'll let you go because I know it's getting late. You might be hungry or something. Okay. So this podcast is called When Words Fail Music Speaks, right?
Yep.
That can't be further from the truth, right? As always. Is there one band, artist, or album, or song, matter of fact, that you can hear right now, but you can't tell me, Melissa, Sean, anybody else, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
That I couldn't tell them?
That you can't express how it makes you feel. The song is so into your being, you just can't get the words out how it makes you feel. This is always a very tough question.
Yeah.
You know, because it's really, really personal, you know.
Yeah.
And some people don't even have one, you know?
No, I think I knew who I want to be, and I know that I know where I missed the mark. And something will always get robbed. It just can't be the same thing all the time. And usually, you know, I put my family first, my wife first, my friends first, over myself.
Right.
Or over sometimes. My needs and things like that. And sometimes, my relationship with the Lord. And, there've been times where, you know, life has gotten extremely busy and, I neglect my time with the Lord and his presence.
Right.
And there's a song that Deborah Hong sings called Your Presence. And it just takes me back to some of the most incredible times I've had and things I've heard from God audibly in my mind.
Yeah.
That have set me free, that have ministered to me, where God has just, he has dealt with me.
Yeah. Oh,
he's taken things from me, whether it be, you know, whether it be fear or anxiety or dependency or shame or hurt, all the things, in his presence. And that song constantly reminds me, like, man, like, I can't neglect that. That can't be the thing that gets neglected.
Yeah.
And when it does, everything else suffers.
Right.
Everything. It's the one thing in my life that if that was what gets neglected, everything else suffers from it. My marriage, my parenting, my work, my drive, my songwriting, my relationships, my health, everything. Yeah. Because that's like the fountain that feeds it all is his presence. And
right.
Spending time in his word and singing and worshiping him. And that song, it really quickly puts me in perspective of, like, it's his presence. That's what you're hungriest for. That's what you desire most. That's what fixes everything. That's where you hear from God. That's where you get your purpose, your motivation, your desires, you know, your needs are fulfilled and met. And when our needs are filled and met by God, it's like we don't have this expectation of everybody else to perform for us, to meet our expectations, when God is meeting everything that we would ever need. He's everything we ever need. There's nothing else we could add to it.
Right.
And when we're in his presence, it's like everything else flows from that. Mm-hmm. And everything's in alignment. And when we're in alignment, man, we're living life to the fullest.
Right.
So it's that song.
That's great.
I'm thankful my friend wrote it, and I'm thankful that it convicts me, and I'm thankful that I could put it on, and I'm just like, all right, Josh.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't neglect that.
No.
You know? I know you like to neglect yourself and put everybody else first, but that's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
But it happens, and I'll admit it. I'll admit it does happen, and I'm just thankful that I got that reminder, and I got somebody that's taking the things of God very seriously to remind me, like, how important it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've not worried about myself. I worry about other people too, but I think God wants you to focus on yourself before helping somebody else. Correct? I'm not sure, because it's like, if you focus on other people, you ain't got time for yourself. You know,
Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less than you're thinking about other people.
Right. Yeah.
So, and you know, it's not, I don't think less and want to neglect myself, but again, I cannot neglect myself over and over and over again,
right.
Especially the things like spending time with God. You have to schedule it. You have to make time for it. And it's usually the first thing in the morning, and, you know, or it just has to be it.
Yeah.
Cause everything can flow out of that. And when it is, there's nothing better.
Right. Oh yeah. Nothing better at all. You're right. Yeah.
It's the cog in the wheel that without it, the machine don't work.
Right. Yeah. Let's give you some shout outs though. You can go to gailbird.com, and I see you're on tour now. I think you're all planning until like the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. We're trying to kind of finish the year strong and get as many reps in as possible, you know, and focus on writing, focus on just kind of tightening up what we've got going on here.
Right.
So we'll do that, finish out the year strong, but obviously, you know, still keeping all our commitments here at home.
Yeah. And also on that website, gailbird.com, you can also buy merchandise, which is really great. Cause like I said, I think it counts it counts more than the stream, you know?
Correct. We got some great merch on there.
It's you got jackets, shirts,
sweatshirts,
pants.
They all make great Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
And if you're going to buy something, you know, you can also support a musician at the same time, rather than just buying clothes that supports a company. Why don't you support a band at the same time? And there's something on there for everybody. It's stylish, you know, and it's a good cause, but it's also related to something that's pretty cool.
Right. And you're on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, X, I guess that's a new one.
TikTok,
you know,
Twitter,
TikTok, yeah.
X, yeah. Facebook, Instagram, yeah. Amazon, iTunes, Spotify.
I would imagine your kids have better luck on TikTok helping you. I don't understand TikTok at all.
Yeah.
So I guess you got to get your kids to teach you.
No, they don't have access to phones.
Oh, well, you'll be with that fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done too much research on the prefrontal cortex of the brain.
There you go, right.
It doesn't develop until you're about 25 years old. And so when we give somebody access to a social media platform and before their brain is developed,
It causes trouble.
And that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
If you want to look at the suicide rate of youth, look at the growth of Instagram from its popularity in 2016 and look at the rise of suicide in youth.
Yeah.
And the increase percentage is insane. Mm-hmm. And the only correlation is social media and smartphones and access to this type of stuff. So we're trying to figure out what that balance is.
Right. Yeah. I always tell people that 2010, the year 2010 was the downfall of society. Cause then after 2010 was hurdle of everything. Facebook, MySpace, TikTok, Instagram,
relationships, community went down, you know, the book Bowling Alone came out.
Yeah.
You know, people were playing less board games, less activities together, and having less community.
Right.
Getting some dopamine rush from some likes on a platform is not a replacement for real community. You know, we spent time on a boat today.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. Enjoying a historic town here in Charleston on the harbor. You know, got to show you around, got to enjoy God's creation.
Yeah.
The way he meant it to be. I think when he created this planet, put us on, and he said, happy birthday.
Right.
Enjoy it. Yeah. You know, and we got to enjoy creation today. We saw dolphins. We saw
birds. We did. We saw two dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
We saw a bunch of things. We saw a bunch of little children on the boat enjoying, having the time of their life, you know, and we got to eat chicken wings, you know. We got to see where the
aquarium
Civil,
is. Yeah.
Civil War was started. Yep. You know, we got to see a bunch of different stuff and a beach called No Name Island, No Name Beach. Yeah. And anyways, we had a great time, but that, you know, nobody was on their phone the whole time.
No.
You know, you can't get that vitamin D from the sunshine and that breeze and all that stuff sitting behind a screen.
Here's a question that just pops in my head before we go real fast. Do you mind, at shows, do you mind looking out to the people and them recording y'all on your phone and not taking time to put it down and just enjoy them? Because I do, but I only take like 15 seconds of the video and then I just put it back in my pocket.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think something in them got moved where they said, God, I want to experience this again. And all of a sudden they experience something, they go, ooh, I need to capture this, but also I want to go send it to Josh.
Yeah.
Or I want to tag them in it, or Sean or Gail Bird, and say, man, this is one of my favorite parts. Like this.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to experience this concert. You know, and I've got a couple comments last night where it was like, I hope everybody else can experience this. This was new. This was
really cool. really fun. Last night,
even the management at the venue was like, hey, you know, I'll have something really special. As far as country music goes, like, this is incredible. And we can't wait to have you back. And,
nice.
You know,
it always makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah. And
come back.
And because they invest a lot into it too, you know,
right?
Talent buyers are very serious about what they do. It's up, they own it, you know. Yeah. And so it's we hope a lot of people get to experience it. Yeah. And so if they want to capture it and save it for later, you know, they always say take a picture, it lasts longer.
Video does the same thing too, you know.
So and it's and we don't have people out there paid to film it, you know. It's expensive but they're. I appreciate when people do that and gets to share it with somebody else. So hopefully we'll come be able to see us in the future.
Yeah. Cause most fans now don't want it. I've heard like no phone concerts or something. That's a thing now. So
yeah. And stand up comedians and stuff like that. Yeah. And then, you know, but, or people don't want to be filmed at their concert, you know, what happened at that Coldplay concert. I'm sure people don't want to be filmed if they're in infidelity, but, you know, I don't mind, you know, and I appreciate it and seeing it posted and all that stuff. And obviously we're in a social media world where we need content. So it helps to have that. Yeah. So no, I don't mind at all.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming. And absolutely. I will get you booked in Columbia. So, you know, y'all can stay at my house or whatever, you know.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
So. Yes.
All right, everybody. So this is Josh Gilbert. And you could go to Gilbert.com, buy all of his merchandise, download his songs, Roses. I guess that came out last night.
Last night,
yeah. Last night, yeah. So make sure we get that. And yeah, so thank you all. Thank you all, everybody, for listening to the show. And always remember, embrace your music geeks. Bye, guys.
That's it.